Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
Amen. If you were to travel to Washington, D.C., you might have a hard time finding a place to stay. I think it's been kind of packed the last few days. But what you would find when you got up there were a lot of peace monuments. The reason that you'll find a lot of peace monuments in Washington, D.C. is because they built one after every single war. And there have been a lot of wars. And in fact, after the war to end all wars, known as World War II, if you were to travel up the road a few hours from D.C. to New York City, they established something there called the United Nations. And in doing so, they said that they want to establish this group in order, quote, that succeeding generations might be free from the scourge of war. And it's an interesting fact to know that since the day that they established the United Nations so that future generations would be free from the scourge of war, there has not been one single day on planet Earth where there has not been an active war somewhere on this planet. Kind of interesting to think about. What does that mean? That means that the world is in need of peace at every single level. I mean, we need peace in the Middle East, and we need peace in middle school. We need peace all over the place. We need peace in our homes, and peace in our marriages, and peace in our families and in our cities. We need peace in our churches. We need peace in the workplace. And yet at the same time we say that, we pray for that, peace sometimes seems a little bit elusive, doesn't it? Kind of elusive. And who is it? Who is it that's going to bring about the peace that we all so desperately need? I don't believe that peace is going to come from any one president or from any dictator or from a diplomat or from ambassadors. But I believe this, that only God can truly bring peace. Only God can bring about peace. We started this little series a couple of weeks ago that you're still on the front end. So if you're just joining us today, you're still on board in plenty of time. We talked about the last couple of weeks and are talking about over the next few weeks, the nine. You go, what are the nine? Well, the nine is a reference to the nine virtues or the nine fruits of the Spirit, expressions of the Spirit that the Bible talks about and says that every person who puts his or her faith, hope, and trust in Jesus, what you get back is not only forgiveness of your sin, you also become a resident for the Holy Spirit of God to live in you. We find a great passage that's worth memorizing over in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23 that talks about these nine fruits of the Spirit. And we talked as we began this series a couple of weeks ago about how it's so important for us, if we're going to exhibit these fruits of the Spirit, for you and I, as followers of Jesus, to really abide in Jesus. Jesus is the one who is the source of all of these fruits that we're talking about. He's the source of our love. He's the source of joy. We've been talking in this series from John 15 about how Jesus explained in this great metaphor how important it is for you and me, if we're going to be followers of His, to abide in Him, to abide in His Word. Listen to what Jesus says in John chapter 15, verse 5. He says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. In that passage, Jesus goes on to let us know that unless a branch stays connected to the vine, we're not going to produce any fruit. You're not going to produce anything of substance and eternal in your life. And so, man, if you don't remember anything else in this series, if you can't remember all the different nine fruits and virtues of the Spirit of God, please remember this. It's as we stay connected to Jesus and we abide in Him and we abide in His Word. Man, that's when we've positioned ourselves for the fruits of the Spirit, the 9 fruits of the Spirit, to begin to grow in our lives of love, of joy. And as we talk about today, the fruit or the virtue of peace that God's Holy Spirit provides in our life as we stay connected to Jesus in prayer and through His Word, abiding in Him. So if you weren't here the first couple of weeks, we invited each family to pick up one of these little kits like this. We've got a few that remain down here. If you hadn't had a chance to get one, or if you lost yours, please come pick up one of these little kits. Inside these little kits are some great resources that will help you have conversations with your family, with your spouse, with your roommate, your friends, about the different fruits of the Spirit, the different virtues that we've been talking about in this series. Really, really grateful to our friends and our partnership over at Lake Point Church to provide these resources in a way that we can use. The words we're talking about and using have really been helpful to me. I'm grateful to Steve Stroop, their pastor over there, and just their heart of sharing. Talk about mine and share. Man, they got a great heart of sharing. I want to share with you some of the thoughts that have been shared about peace, because it just is so important for our lives if we're going to experience peace. And as we talk about this third expression of the fruits of the Spirit called peace, we need to begin talking about what it means to have peace with God. Peace with God. I invite you to open your Bible to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. If you're using the Bible in the row in front of you, Romans chapter 5 is going to be on page 939. If you don't have a Bible, come see me in the Home Life Center when we're finished this morning. I'll give you a Bible that you can take with you. Feel free to turn your phone on if you use a Bible app. Whatever you use to read the Bible, which is God's Word, we want you reading along, not just in here, but all throughout the week. So look with me at what it says in the beginning of Romans chapter 5, verse 1. It talks about peace, and Paul's writing, and he says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." So right there, that is where peace begins. Let me draw a little illustration on this board here. Hopefully you're able to see it. Maybe you've seen this before when it talks about having peace with God. It's an illustration that has been called the bridge. And so if you've got God right here on this side, and you have humans over here, mankind over here, what the scripture says is, since the Garden of Eden, since Adam and Eve chose to disobey God and sin. Sin is anything we do, say, or think that God doesn't want us to do, say, or think. And so what sin does is it separates us from holy God. It causes a chasm to be between our lives and God's life. And when sin is in our life, we can't have peace with God. The scripture goes on to say in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So if you're sucking air on this ball of dirt called earth, you fall into the category of a sinner. Welcome to Arapaho Road. I'm glad you're here today. If you weren't sure who you are, you're a sinner. And so am I. But I've got good news for you. Here's the deal. If we think about sin, anything we do, say, or think that God doesn't want us to do, say, or think, I want us to focus in on that middle letter of the word sin, S-I-N. See, when we think about sin, S-I-N, focus on that middle letter for a second, because that's where so much of our sin comes from, I. I'm not saying like I, Captain. I'm saying like me, myself, and I. See, we get separated from God when we start thinking, I'm going to be in charge of my life. I deserve this. I should have this. It's about me, myself, and I'm going to be sitting on the throne of my own life. In a sense, I'm going to be my own God, because at the end of the day, I really think I know better than God. And when we make this choice, what begins to happen is we begin to push God out of our lives because he's holy and without sin. So the first step to having peace with God is figuring out what do we need to do so that we can have God back in our life again. How can that happen? And the way that we have peace with God and to have God back in our life is not by you and me going to church more, although I'm really glad you're here and I hope you come back next week. We're not going to have peace with God just by trying to be a better person, although I encourage you to do that. The world's better when we choose good versus evil. We overcome evil by good. So be good, for goodness sake. You're not going to have peace with God by sharing more, giving more money to God through the church. That's not how you have peace with God. None of those things can bridge this gap between ourselves and holy God. So what are we going to do? Nothing. But put our faith, hope, and trust in the one who did what no one could do. The perfect one, the sinless one. Jesus is his name. The only bridge that is able to bring God back into our lives and our lives into God's life when our sin has separated us from God is Jesus through what he did on the cross. When he died on the cross, he paid the penalty for all our sin. And maybe you've seen a little drawing like that before. It's a bridge, and Jesus on the cross is the bridge that allows us to come back to God and to have peace with God, because the scripture says he took away all our sin. That's what the Bible teaches. And the Bible is eternal, and things that are eternal are always relevant. They never go out of style. So this is good news yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And as we just read in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, it is through Jesus that we have peace with God. Peace with God. So if we desire to have peace, if we desire to have peace in our world, it's going to start when you and I have personal peace with God through a relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm going to give you several different verses this morning about peace, that talk about peace from the scripture. I invite you to jot them down. I'll invite you to turn to a few of them, but one just to write down is from Isaiah 53, verse 5. It's talking about the suffering servant. It's a prophecy of the suffering servant, whom I believe is Jesus, and many would agree. And Isaiah 53, verse 5 says this, "But he," Jesus, "the suffering servant, was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us" what? Brought us peace. "With his stripes we are healed." What are the stripes? The wounds, the scourgings, the whip marks on his back, the piercings in his hands and feet and in his side, in his brow where the crown of thorns were. All that that took place on the cross was meant to bring us peace with God. And when you and I put our faith, hope, and trust in Jesus and what Jesus did, not what we do, what he did when he suffered and bled and died on the cross to forgive us our sin that separated us from holy God, that's when we can have peace with God. Friends, peace with God begins at the cross. Would you just say that with me on the count of three? One, two, three. Peace with God begins at the cross. Now, after we have peace with God, after we have peace with God, then we can begin to experience the peace of God. The peace of God. What do I mean by experiencing the peace of God versus having peace with God? Well, look with me at another verse of Scripture in the Gospel of John, chapter 14. John 14, verse 27, Jesus is talking. If you're using the Bible that we provided for you, it's going to be on page 901. Page 901. And in John 14, verse 27, we read the words that Jesus spoke concerning peace. And he helps to give a little more definition, get our minds around it. In John 14, 27, Jesus says this. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you." Check this out. "Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." So let's talk about what Jesus is talking about here. Jesus is telling us what peace is in this verse of Scripture. Peace, he is saying, is the opposite of a troubled heart, a fearful heart. Jesus does not want you and me to live lives of worry, to live lives of anxiety. Jesus wants not only to give us, but also produce in us his peace, which is the peace of God. Because Jesus is God. Now don't miss that. See, when you have the peace of Jesus that he's offering here in John 14, 27, when you have the peace of Jesus, what that means is you now have the peace of God because Jesus is God. Amen. He's not just a good person. He's not just a good teacher. He's God, Amen. The one and only God. And the peace of God means there's a lack of worry. The peace of God means there's going to be a lack of fear. See, it's one thing to have a relationship with God through Jesus. It's another thing to live where we live in this fallen world and live without worry and live without fear and live without anxiety. The peace of God is described in other verses of Scripture. Jot this one down. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16. 2 Thessalonians 3, 16. Paul goes on to write. It's on the screen up here. Look what he says about peace. It says, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace." When? "At all times and in every way, the Lord be with you all." So let's think about that for a second. Let's just wrap our minds around that. So the peace of God, it is something that Scripture says can be experienced at all times, in every way, no matter the circumstance of your day. You get bad news about your health. You get bad news about your finances. You've got a relational blow up. And God's saying, "I want to give you peace in all circumstances, at all times, in every way." Peace is talked about in another part of Scripture. Paul continues writing about peace, describing this peace of God over in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. Listen to what Paul writes about peace. Now, this is going to, you need to hang on to this. This is really, really good stuff. It's going to show you're not crazy. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, Paul's writing, and he says this, "And the peace of God, which surpasses" how much of our understanding? All of it. His peace surpasses all understanding. And here's what it's going to do. Here's what the peace of God will do. It's going to guard your hearts and it's going to guard your minds in Christ Jesus. So Paul just tells us right up front that the peace of God is going to baffle the mind. When you have the peace of God, it's not going to make sense to you. You're not going to really be able to explain it very well. Why? Because it surpasses what? All our understanding. So let me just give you a homework pass, okay? Don't try to understand it. Just receive it. Completion grade. Awesome. Awesome. You know, over my 20 plus years in ministry and pastoring people, I've listened to people over and over and over again who've experienced losing a loved one. I've been with them in those moments. And over again, I've heard people express to me, even though they are extremely sad, and it's a sad situation, and they're not discounting the loss, that their loved one is not with them in body anymore, yet they explain to me and declare to me and confess to me, man, my heart's breaking, but Pastor, I've got this peace. And I'm just like, can't even comprehend it, can you? Mm-mm. It's the peace of God. It's the peace of God. Don't try to understand it. Just enjoy it. Receive it. And the scripture that we just read from Philippians says that the peace of God will guard both your heart and your mind. It guards your heart. That's how you feel. Also guards your mind. That's what you think. It's what you think about. And Jesus is saying, don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. This peace that surpasses all understanding, here's how it's going to come about. Here's how it's going to unfold in your life. Look back with me in that Romans 5 chapter that we were in just a second ago. We finished with verse 1 and kind of moved on. I want to go back and pick back up in verses 2 through 5. And I want you to see this process of how the Lord establishes and grows peace in our lives. Look at verse 2 where Paul is writing. Romans 5 verse 2, it says this. Look for the process. Through him, through Jesus, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. In which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Verse 3, more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings. That seems kind of weird, but we're going to choose to do it. We rejoice in our sufferings because we know something. Knowing that suffering produces endurance. That's part of the process. Verse 4, and endurance produces character. That's part of the process. And character produces hope. That's part of the process. Verse 5, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love, check it out, has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Who's been given to us? When's he given to us? When we walk across this bridge and put in our faith, hope, and trust in Jesus and have peace with God. That's the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. See, don't miss this. There is a predictable process for those of us who have peace with God. The way that we get the peace of God is by God pruning things out of our lives. Now, hang with me on this. See, it's one thing to be connected to God. We talked about that. Connected to God from John 15. Jesus says again, I'm the vine, you're the branches. You can't produce fruit in your life if you're not connected to me. But then Jesus goes on to say some things that are tough for us to hear, but we need to hear them. He goes on to say that he's going to prune some things. He's going to allow some branches in our life that aren't producing fruit to be removed. God prunes things out of our lives. How does God prune things out of our lives? What does pruning mean? What does that mean? It means that God's going to allow a removal of something in our life that's diverting nutrients, that's diverting the good stuff God wants for us. He's going to allow those things to be moved out, removed away. You go, how does God prune things out of our life? I've never seen God with his big old clippers coming after my branches. What does that look like? Well, one way that God prunes things out of our life is through the reading of his word. And God's word tells us the things in our lives that aren't necessary. What's unnecessary that may need to go? God's word tells us about things that aren't healthy, maybe that are diseased. Is there a diseased branch in our life that really needs to go, needs to be pruned out? God's word tells us what may be a distraction in our life that needs to be removed, an idol in our life that we've been putting too much affection, too much attention, and that needs to go, so that our lives can produce healthier and more fruit. And one of the primary ways, hear me on this, because this is not going to be popular, but it's right out of God's word, and I'll show you. One of the primary ways that God prunes our lives is through suffering. Through suffering. It's what we just read in Romans 5:3. It talks about suffering. Raise your hand if you like suffering. No, nobody likes suffering. But can I just tell you something? God's not afraid of suffering. He's not afraid of your suffering. In fact, many times when suffering comes into our lives, we begin to question the love of God. God, if you really loved me, then why in the world would you allow this to happen in me to have to suffer through that? Well, it may be because God knows something that you don't know yet. One of the things that I've learned in my life is that God does not cause, God allows, big difference. But he does not cause suffering in your life. And when suffering is experienced in our lives, he's faithful through his word to remind us, my grace is sufficient for you. And he must know that he can redeem something that's been horrible in my life if I will let him. It's part of why God does not always step in automatically and just supernaturally remove suffering from our lives. Now, sometimes he does, but not always. In fact, many times God chooses to use suffering in our lives as his pruning instrument for our lives. God uses suffering as a scalpel to do needed surgery in our life. Notice what comes next after suffering is experienced in our life. Go back to the text in Romans 5, verse 3. And if we will respond correctly to suffering that's allowed in our lives, we can walk through that suffering experience, he says, with endurance. Endurance in our lives in Romans 5, 3. What is endurance? Endurance is the ability to wait on God. Endurance is the ability to wait on God. So here comes this crisis into your life. Here comes this crisis into my life. Maybe I've been idolizing a relationship in my life, deifying a person in my life in a way that I'm depending on that person way too much and not depending on God. And God, for whatever reason, his sovereignty allows this person to be removed. Or maybe it's a job and I'm depending on this job more than I'm depending on the provision of God. And I'm depending on this money and I'm depending on this health. I'm depending on this pleasure. And I just think, I've got to have these things if I'm going to really be fulfilled in life. And sometimes God allows us to go through suffering and trials in our life. And when that happens, we can choose to stand firm in our faith. Just like it says in Romans 5, 2, standing firm in our faith. And we can say to God, God, I don't like this. And God may answer back, well, are you going to leave? Well, no. I mean, you're my God. You created me. You know me. You sent Jesus to die on the cross to forgive me of my sin that separated me from you. I mean, where else am I going to go, God? And we stay standing firm in our faith, and we don't go outside of our faith to get that perceived need met or to numb the suffering and our pain. And we don't step outside and go against what God's word says as that person or that thing or that circumstance is being removed, is being pruned from our life. And if we'll stand there, If we'll stand there, what will happen in God's perfect timing is that he's going to meet that need in one of two ways. Either he supernaturally is going to change things back the way that they were, or God's going to give us grace to live without that person, circumstance, or thing. And you know what? You may not believe it now, but his grace is going to allow it to be just as good and fulfilling and sufficient. Either way, he supernaturally changes it back and you go, only God could do that. Or he's going to give you grace to stand. And so endurance comes about in our life and the ability to wait on God. And then endurance produces character. We see that in verse 4. And when character gets produced in our life, that character allows the immediate default to suffering not to be us going off the rails on the crazy train, but to default to trust. God, you must know something I don't know here. I trust in you. And I trust in your holy word, and I trust in your spirit at work in me. And it begins to build our spiritual muscles, and our character gets built up, and that produces this final product in our life, this process which leads to hope. We see that at the end of verse 4 there. And do you know what hope is another word for? Peace. Peace. I don't become hopeless and lose it. Why? Because I remember what his word said. This is a peace that's going to surpass all my understanding. I can stand in there. I have a peace of God that surpasses all my understanding. It's guarding my heart, what I feel. It's guarding my mind, what I'm thinking about. And everybody else around me may not understand it. But man, if you've been in a crisis, raise your hand if you've ever been in a crisis and come through it. Some of you are in one right now. Let me just give you some hope. If you're in that crisis and you've trusted God and you've waited on him and he came through for you, God, you got hope. Hope. It's just around the corner. It'll come to you as long as you stay standing with him in the peace of him. Man, there's nothing that the world can throw at you that can rob you of that peace of God. If you're going, I don't know how to get that, but I want that. Would you fill that little Connect card out and just put your contact info on it. Just click that little box. I would like information on what it means to be a follower of Jesus. I'd love to talk with you this week. Would love to talk with you this week about how you can have peace with God and then receive the peace of God. And once those things happen, you've just positioned yourself to be someone who helps make peace with others. Jesus told us in Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they'll be called the children of God. Are you a peacemaker? Are you a child of God? Is that how people think about you? They won't until you have peace with God and have positioned yourself to receive the peace of God. Then you're in a place where you can begin to be a peacemaker with others. One last verse, Paul writes in Colossians 3:15, he says, and let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. That word rule in the Greek is where we get our English word umpire. Can you imagine the NFC Championship or the AFC Championship with no umpire, no referee out there keeping order, keeping the peace, keeping the peace. Peace is a fruit of God that he wants to produce in our lives in such a way that when people look at our lives, they just go, wow, they must be a part of God's family. And the only way that peace will ever be produced in your life is if you do what Jesus said and remain in him and let his words remain in you. I'm going to invite Zion Gosselin to come up. He's one of our ministry residents, and he's going to wrap our time up talking about peace. Somebody said, man, I've missed the blessing that you usually give the last couple of weeks. I'm liking hearing from our residents, but can we do both? Sure. Hold your hands out just for a second. Let me give you a quick blessing. Somebody said, man, it's not church until the blessing's been given. Well, here you go. May the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Umpire all your relationships. May you have peace with God and position yourself to receive the peace of God, that you may make peace with others. May you give it and experience it. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, peace be with you. Zion.
Thank you, Pastor David. As I was listening to the message, it made me think of my situation right now. As a seminary student, there are many times when I get anxious of how I'm going to survive and pay for my tuition and how I'm going to finish my semester. There are always new challenges. I always see it as a journey that can either grow me and change me to a person that the Lord wants me to be, or a journey that can make me feel unhappy, burnt out, or defeated. It all depends on my walk with the Lord. You know, juggling my time with school and work is challenging, and sometimes unexpected things happen that can, add to the load and stress. But the Lord has been reminding me through the 9 series and in my personal time with Him to remain in Christ, to abide in Him, and stay connected with Him and His Word. And it's only when I abide in Christ and His Word will I be able to know our God deeper. It's only when I stay connected to the vine will I be transformed into Christ-likeness and produce the peace of God through the work of the Holy Spirit. You know, as we remain in Christ and abide in Him and in His Word, we will experience and know God in our lives. We will see that He is sufficient and is in control in every circumstance. And as we know Him more, we can experience peace because we are rest assured that He will take care of us no matter what we are going through in life. So right now, are you struggling right now? Are you worried and anxious about something that is going on in your life? Maybe there is fear in your heart because you are afraid of what the future holds. You know, as Christians, we are called to abide in Christ. We are called to remain in Him and stay connected with His Word and His promises He will give us. He will give us peace.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our church website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning services at 9:30 a.m. Feel free to join us this week.